Hey everyone, I'm Will.
And I'm Alex.
And welcome back to They Mostly Come Out at Night.
Mostly.
Again, we're on everywhere you can get podcasts. We're on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, mostly Podbean because that's where we started. So, yep. Well, today we watched The Corpse Grinders, the 1971 movie.
Directed by the genius Ted V. Mickles.
Yeah. Because everyone's heard of Ted V. Mickles.
And if they haven't, they should.
Right.
They should.
I just wonder what else he's directed.
I know I've seen that name before, so I think we'll be revisiting this guy. But this was a very bold start for us. Put it that way.
And I'm guessing this was another just like IMDb search that
yep.
resulted in you finding a terrible movie.
Yep, I've never heard of this before.
Yeah, neither have I. And I don't know if my life is better now that we've seen it, but...
Oh, I disagree. My life is much better. I feel so much joy after watching this thing.
I don't know what I feel. I mean, maybe they're... Like, maybe I'm more afraid of cats now. But, you know, I don't know. Not really, because they weren't really convincing.
Are you saying that the scenes in this movie aren't just... regular cats awkwardly hugging people?
I'm just saying they're compelling. They're compelling enough to make me think that I should be terrified of cats.
Oh, yeah.
I'm speaking sarcastically that it was unconvincing at all.
Oh, it was the most convincing animal attacks ever.
Oh, yeah. From the very get-go.
Yeah, talk about the intro. Cause, all right.
Yeah, so let's get into this movie.
Masterpiece.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Let's get into this masterpiece. So, starts out, it's a rainy night, mm-hmm. and it's like, you know, big thunderstorm. It's raining. You see this cat at this door trying to get in. And, like, you're like, why they're showing this.
Yeah, but... and then there's this couple watching TV, mm-hmm. and she keeps hearing the cat outside, but they keep cutting back and forth until, like, at first they're like, what the fuck is... Like, what are we supposed to be feeling? What's happening?
Yeah, like, why are they showing the cat and there's this random couple? Like,
yeah.
I don't understand this. And so she keeps hearing it, and then she hears it meow one more time, so she goes to the door and opens the door and looks down, and there's the cat. And then it makes this, like
angry meow? Yeah. Let's say that.
Yeah, the angry meow, and it attacks. You know what cats do.
Yeah.
And then it attacks her.
It jumps up.
And she's just hugging this cat to her.
She's, like, hugging this cat. And
and like blood starts to come out and she's like and then like
oh no, it doesn't start to come out, it's after the fact, because you see her hugging the cat
and then she throws it into
and
the
then
house
she throws the cat like off of her, and then there's just like fake blood smeared on her neck.
Yeah, and then which is the start of this like totally crazy movie. Her screaming, it jump cuts to like a bunch of body parts in a barrel.
No, but it does that. So it cuts from her screaming to the title, Corpse Grinders.
Yeah.
And then as you see like a still shot of her screaming, it cuts to like random body parts.
In a barrel, and then the human grinder.
The corpse grinder.
Oh yeah, excuse me, the corpse grinder.
Name drop. Okay.
I'm sorry, the corpse grinder.
And it keeps cutting, and we're like, okay, that's one way to, like, just drop you into a movie.
And I was just like, wow, that escalated really quickly. Like, it goes from a woman getting attacked by a cat to seeing a bunch of body parts in a barrel and a giant corpse grinder.
Oh, and there was payoff.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. yeah, we'll get to the payoff, of course. So then what was the next scene?
It was the two people, the couple digging up a body.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we get Caleb and his wife.
And his weirdo wife, who has a little doll that she carries around with her, and she has, like, a British accent?
I think it's British, I believe.
It's,
so,
like, supposed to be a British accent, even though I don't know why. There's no real reason, but whatever.
I don't understand it.
So he's digging up a body, and it's a cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
And they're digging it up, and they're, like, nagging each other, and then they go in their shitty house...
Well, he tells her, like, oh, pick up all the tools, like, you know, like, leave me to my business and all this stuff.
Because like, she's, like, complaining, like, when are you going to get paid?
Mm-hmm.
Blah, blah, blah. And he's like, don't talk to me, woman. Leave me to my business.
Like, know your place. And so he has her grab all the tools and they go back to their little, little like, It only shows one room of their house.
It's only one room, yeah.
Their kitchen. And he's like...
The world's shittiest kitchen?
Yeah, seriously. Kitchen Nightmares has nothing on that.
Oh, yeah.
So, he's, like, doing his books, and, like, he's looking at how many pounds he's given a mysterious person. And he's like, they owe me, like, you know, like $2,500 for all this.
Because we didn't even get it at first, because he kept saying, like, okay, there's 200 pounds, 150 pounds, and this and that. So they owe me $500 or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then his wife serves him, like, some piece of shit soup.
It just looks like broth.
It looks like brown broth.
Yeah, or water.
Brown water?
I don't know what it was.
I don't want to know what that is.
But she starts feeding that weird doll.
Yeah, she has a seat for her doll at the table, Will. It's adorable. And she pours the little soup for the doll. And I don't even remember. The next scene is the doctor's office, right?
Yes. So we get an introduction into Howard Glass and...
Angie.
Angie.
But before we talk about this, I want to talk about this doctor's office. This is the fakest doctor's office ever.
Oh, yeah. It's so fake.
The walls are completely white. Like, blindingly white. There's no decoration other than a diploma that's just, like, hanging on the wall.
But it looks like they just put it into a plastic, like, sleeve protector and then pinned it to the wall.
And then pinned it to the wall. Yep. And there's, like, a little cabinet that has, like, random, like, little glasses in it that's supposed to be, like, medicine or some shit. And there's a window that you cannot see out of. It's just gray.
Mm-hmm.
So we're already off to a great start.
Oh, yeah. Awesome start. Yep. The production in this is beautiful.
But also, we have to remember how the scene started, because it starts with her. I don't remember what she was doing, but... And then it starts with her, and then the doctor walks in, and, like, it starts playing this, like, bow-chicka-bow music.
Yeah, but then it goes to him, like, talking about how he lost another guy because he, like, well, not because the surgery was botched, but because he couldn't save him.
Yeah.
And
but the scene starts like a fucking porno.
Yeah, and then we're just like, into some, like, dramatic shit about how he couldn't save a patient.
But in the opening scene, we're both of us are just like, are we, like, did we accidentally pick a fucking porno?
Yeah,
like... Because it's just so, like, the bad set and, like, the how everyone looks. But, yeah, he's immediately just like... She's like, oh, what's wrong? I just feel bad. I couldn't save him. And it's like, you know, whatever. You know the story. She comforts him, and then they start flirting.
And they kiss.
Yeah, they kiss, and the dialogue is wonderful. It's just endless, like, innuendos. Like, she gets a phone call, because she's a nurse. She's on a call, whatever. And the guy's like, oh, that can wait, but I can't.
Yeah, seriously. Like, it's all like that. And, like, it alludes... So, I remember when he first comes into the office, he goes into the cabinet and gets, like alcohol, and he drinks that, because he's, like, stressed out, and then all of a sudden he just kind of forgets about all of that, and they're just flirting.
About his budding alcoholism?
Yeah.
Are you saying...
Well, no, it forgets about, like, the fact that he, like, feels bad, that he, like, didn't do good on a surgery, and, like, all this stuff. And then they just go immediately to, like, innuendos and, like, them flirting and, like, almost, like, porno-like, like, beginning of a porno-like status.
It's because there's only one thing that can truly cure that man's ills, and that's if he gets laid. And, you know, the alcohol is just a distraction. That's his whole... Because every fucking scene has to end with them flirting in this.
Oh, yeah. Every scene. I think even the end of the movie, it has them flirting at the end.
We'll get to your favorite pun later.
Oh, yeah. It's a masterpiece.
What was the scene after this? Was it...
So is this when they go out and then it, like...
I think it was a scene where the cat food factory...
Yeah, it goes to the office of the pet food, the pet food factory, the Lotus...
Yeah.
Lotus cat food.
The motto is...
It's,
food for cats who like people?
Yeah, food for cats who like people.
Get it?
Do
you guys get it?
Do you get it yet?
You will.
Yeah. Yeah, it's as stupid as it sounds.
So, let's talk about the office.
So, it's like this, like... There's, like, two windows and then one window on the door that's all foggy and, like,
all the windows are
disgusting
foggy
and gross.
Yes.
And then, like,
and
it's
there's
just, like...
a file cabinet in the corner, because offices have file cabinets, Will. So you have to put a file cabinet in the corner.
That was one desk.
Yep, one desk with a phone on it.
And a typewriter.
And a typewriter.
Yeah, that's it.
And like, that's it. And the only decoration is the poster for the cat food company that is literally printed off and taped to the fucking wall.
Well, we're supposed to believe this is a big cat factory, right? Yes. They're making a lot of money selling this cat food. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they keep alluding to the fact that this is a very lucrative business. Mm-hmm. Like, they're making tons of money. And they have this one shitty little office with, like, this weird, like, underground, like, kind of, like...
Basement
area.
Where the corpse grinder is. And all their employees are, like, basically, like... Like, there's one old man, awkward old man, and a mute woman...
That has one leg.
That has one leg.
And, like, hobbles around
so
on
they
the,
are
a crutch.
Fucking... Yeah, so clearly this place is loaded.
Yeah, like, but that's what they, like, led us to believe the entire movie.
Oh, yeah.
And the whole movie is, like, so unbelievable because they have this little shitty office and, like, almost no money.
You have to use your imagination when you watch this movie, okay?
Well, you do. I mean, I get they probably didn't have the budget to do, like, a big warehouse thing.
I think this movie might be too deep for you.
I think it might be. Okay. I don't think my intelligence is high enough to understand this kind of caliber of a movie.
I don't think any of us truly have that intelligence.
No.
So
they're talking. So it's the two owners of the cat food company talking, and
they're talking about, like, money and how they don't have enough. They don't have enough product.
Yeah, and they're also talking about how, like, they don't have enough product to put into the cat food.
Yeah.
So they don't have enough meat to put into the cat food.
Yeah.
And, you know, they keep talking about how, you know, soon they're going to be able to go, like, on a vacation and, like, they're going
to
have all this
money.
They're
going to go to Europe.
Yeah. And so then they say they're going to contact Caleb about, you know, this is where
that's when it hits.
Yeah, it starts kind of, like, it starts giving you an idea of what is actually going on.
Yeah.
Which,
so,
again, like I said, it's as stupid as it sounds.
Oh, yeah. So the next scene is they're going to Caleb, the guy you saw earlier digging up corpses, and they are picking up corpses from them. So the idea of the movie is that, yes, they're turning human bodies into cat food.
Oh, but it gets even more ridiculous than that.
It does, but that's the basic idea. And they're getting them from this guy, Caleb, who I guess he runs the cemetery?
Yeah, him
because
and
later
his
on,
wife run the cemetery.
Because what happens is, the idea of the movie is when his cemetery fills up, he digs up bodies and then gives them away to... the cat food people, but they haven't paid them, which, again, we have to mention, again, apparently they're so rich that they can't afford to pay anybody.
No, yeah.
Because they're still, like, not paying Caleb, and he's like, they get into an argument when they go to pick up the bodies, and it's the most awkward fucking argument.
Well, it's weird, because you can, like, hear Caleb pretty perfectly, like, you can hear him saying, like, I want my money, like, all this stuff, and then, like, the other owner, what?
His name was, oh my god, Landau?
Landau, I think, yeah. And he's talking, but you can barely hear him because,
like,
he's, like, whispering.
He does that, like, he does, like, a whisper talk, essentially, but the argument is close-ups of their faces and, like, just hard edits. And each time Landau talks, it's fucking awkward. He's just like, yes, Caleb, you will get what you are worth. Yes, okay, Caleb, you will get everything you need. And it's just this, like, argument about money, and Caleb was just like, because you have Caleb who's overacting, who's just like, I want my money now, and then you have Landau who just talks, like, completely flat. No emotion, nothing.
So Caleb sells him the bodies, and he's like, this one's like 150, this one's 175, and, like, one of them, the other owner, I can't remember his name.
He had some weird-ass name.
Yeah, he says, like, oh, well, these look bloated. Like, we don't want these.
No, you forgot. He said these look like dead weight. Get it?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because they're dead, yeah.
And he mentioned something about them being bloated, too. Yeah. And then they take them, and the Landau's like, oh, we'll pay you next time. Mm-hmm. I'll see you around. Like... Doesn't he, like, threaten Caleb a little bit? Like, oh, no, you'll get what you deserve.
Yeah, you'll get what you deserve.
You'll get what you deserve is what he tells Caleb. And so they drive
You'll
off.
Get what's coming to you.
Oh, that's right, yeah. You'll get what's coming to you.
Yep.
Again, in the most underacted tone I've ever heard.
I think the next scene is the attack on the woman in the bed.
I believe you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Or does it go to the morgue?
It goes to the fucking,
the weird chapel thing.
No, right? No, that's after. It goes back to the office, and, he gets attacked by the cat.
Oh, that's right, yeah, she's feeding the cat the Lotus cat food.
And it immediately attacks him?
Yeah,
so... Dr. Glass.
Yeah, so she has just fed this cat the cat food, and, Dr. Glass goes over and, like, starts paying attention to the cat, and you hear that, like, meow! And then it jumps up and, like, starts attacking him, and he's holding it, like, he's, like, again, like, in the beginning, he's, like, holding it to his chest.
Yeah, they're, like, pretend fighting these cats.
And then she's, like, trying to get it off of him, and what, I can't remember what her cat's name, it was, like, Sun something.
It had
like,
two words. Or something. I can't remember. Two words, but yeah.
Yeah, so he gets him off, and then she's like, oh, you're scratched, even though you can see zero scratches.
There's not a single scratch on his fucking face.
Yeah.
And when she is wiping off his scratch, the side of his face she's wiping off is facing away from the camera.
Yeah, because...
Which begs the question, I don't know why, like, they clearly had fake blood for the movie, but I guess they ran out of it.
They didn't put any blood on him either. Yeah. Like, they were just like, she's oh, you're like, hurt, you're scratched.
Yeah, she's like, oh, your face is all scratched up. No, it's not.
And we're like, where?
Yeah.
Where are the scratches? So
then
gets rubbing alcohol and rubs it on his face, you know, like blah blah blah. Stuff.
They flirt some more. It's awkward. Next scene is like this shitty house and this like
lady laying on a bed.
Yeah,
just in like she's just like she looks like she's drunk almost. She's just like rolling around on this bed, just like She looks like she's been sweating profusely.
Oh, yeah,
and we're like. What is going on? And it shows this old guy outside, like, playing with his beard.
With his beard, yeah.
Yeah, he's just sitting outside this house, just playing with his beard, and we have no idea who these people are or what's going on.
And then you see a tiny cat.
And then you see, like, a bunch of cans of the Lotus cat food, right? They always make sure to show the Lotus cat food, and the cat's eating it. Mm-hmm. So the cat's eating it, and then it jumps up on the bed and, like, goes around her body and is like, meow! And then, like, it, starts, like... And then it just goes after her. But again, it just shows her, like, it's kind of like they put the cats on the people and the people, like, put their hands on the cat's body.
And pretend fight.
And kind of, like, lightly press down on them to, like, not hurt the cat, which is good.
Yeah.
But,
just, like, it makes it look like they're pretend fighting.
They're pretend fighting. It reminds me of, like, those old Hammer films, like, you know, like the Devil Bat and stuff, where they had to hold the prop.
Oh, yeah.
To, like,
it's classic. You
know, like, and shake it a little bit to look like it was attacking them.
It's classic maneuver.
So then, like, she, like, struggles with the cat, and the old guy hears it and, like, runs up.
Yeah.
And kicks open the door, and she's dead.
She's dead. And then he takes the cat and, like, throws it so hard against whatever, the wall, that he kills it. But I guess, like, the cat literally, like, ripped her jugular open to where she bled to death.
Yeah, even though there's not that much blood there.
Yeah. Apparently, well... I guess her body maybe just didn't have that much blood, Will. Did you think about that? Yeah. See? It's a movie's genius.
So then I think it goes back to the factory, right?
Yeah.
And, like, the guy's mopping around and...
It's just like, okay, it goes to this weird scene that I didn't even quite get what the point of it was, where they're looking for new, I guess, places to get bodies. And they go to a mortuary.
Yeah.
They go to a chapel, mortuary?
Or mortuary or something.
The outside is a chapel, but they go inside and it's a mortuary.
Yeah, and then we get the fucking morgue joke.
The two...
Morty the mortician.
Yes.
I love that they called him
Morty.
Morty the mortician. Yep. That was beautiful.
And they talk, and I don't know what the fuck... Like, none of it made any sense.
They keep making, like, mortician jokes.
Yes.
Like, quote-unquote mortician jokes, but they make no sense.
The older doctor is like, you know what? I'm going to go back to school. And they're like, oh, really? Yeah. I want to become a chef. A gourmet chef. And then they just laugh hysterically.
Yeah. Like it was, like, the most hilarious joke they've ever heard.
I don't know about you. I mean, it was... I laughed my
ass
off.
And so they talk about it, but they don't really, like, explain anything about what's going on. They just kind of were talking to these...
Yeah.
Morticians. Because
you never really get the impression that, like... they get any bodies from the mortuary.
Is that when it flashes the scene of the guy choking the other guy out, but we, like, it doesn't allude to anything?
No.
That's later. Okay, that's later.
Wait a minute.
Because it flashed, I don't know if you were looking or not, but at a certain point it did flash the guy in the blue plaid suit choking someone, and I think it flashed it then.
Who was he choking?
Just a random guy.
Oh, okay.
But it flashed that, so then we go back to the factory.
Because I remember they started doing that later with the old guy. Remember? Right before, when they found out that they were going to kill him?
Yeah,
the
okay.
The old guy in the factory. I remember they just started doing all that random flashing.
Well, they did, but I thought they flashed. Yeah. I could be wrong.
They might have.
So then they go back to the factory, and isn't this where they kill the...
I think the next scene is actually the doctor and the nurse investigating.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, so they're... So the doctor...
They go to the shitty house.
They go to the shitty... Not... So, wait, I thought they... Didn't he dissect the cat first?
They have to get the body first.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So they go to the shitty house, and they look in there, and they just see the cat food bottles, cans.
Mm-hmm.
And she makes a little comment.
About?
Yeah.
Yeah, about how these cats are going crazy after eating the same cat food.
And she's like, isn't it strange that, you know, you got attacked by a cat, and then this happens. And they get the cat's body, and they dissect it.
And he, like, looks in it and, like, finds the food, like, the stomach. And, like, gets out the food and then has it inspected at a doctor's office, which I thought was odd.
Yes.
I mean, I know they do, like, blood work and analysis there, but it's not, like, a science lab.
Apparently it is.
But apparently it is, because they have it analyzed, and they find human flesh. Mm-hmm. Then starts the most, like, ridiculous conversation.
Is that when he picks up the book?
Yeah, about how cats, when they taste human flesh, or when they taste a certain thing, they, like, crave it.
Specifically human flesh.
Yeah, so when they eat human flesh, they go crazy and have to, like, attack and get fresh human flesh.
Yeah, the idea is that, like, if they taste human flesh, like, I guess it somehow
unlocks their, like, carnal...
Takes them back to, you know, before they were domesticated. Yeah. It's stupid.
Like, it's a stretch.
He just picks up... I don't even know why he has a fucking encyclopedia in his doctor's office, by the way. Because he just picks up this fucking book in his doctor's office and just reads that out.
Yeah, and all the answers are right there, apparently.
All the answers, he opens it up, the answers are right there. Do you think they might have had, like, the script printed in there?
Maybe, and that's why he was able to... Because that was, like, some of the best acting he did.
You think that was some movie magic?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Probably. Specifically magic. Because this movie is magic.
So then they, like, go out of the office because they're going to go inspect this this cat food company, but they don't know where it is.
Yeah.
So they go, they're like, oh, where can we go? And so they're like, we could go to the food adultery, food adultery agency?
not adultery.
Well, not adultery,
the food.
Not, sorry, adultery, wow.
The food. I mean, the food adult agency. I don't remember what the middle word was. It was adulterated? I don't know.
It was something like that.
It was made up shit.
Okay? The FAA.
Yes. Yeah. Not the FAA, the other FAA. You know, the airplane one? No.
No, this is the...
you might not have heard of this one.
Oh, what was it? I can't
remember. Supposed to be the FDA.
Yeah, but I don't think they
have... What's funny is, they mention the FDA by name in the movie, and then they have this. It's like, I guess they couldn't get permission to use the FDA or something. I have no idea.
So they go to this office, and there's, like, this secretary there, and they say they have an appointment, and then she goes into the office and talks about some random thing, the secretary. Mm-hmm. And then they go, and then the Dr. Glass and Angie go into the office.
But... You remember when she was leaving, she says goodbye to the, there's like a...
Yeah, the secretary is like, can I get off early and stuff? And
then there's like a male secretary, essentially.
Yeah, or an assistant or something. Yeah,
and she says goodbye to him and walks away, and it does this quick cut of his reaction.
Just it's like... Him like staring at her and smiling.
Yeah, it's like 1 second, and it's so sudden. Like, we almost jumped because it was like so fucking out of nowhere.
And it's so random, too, because it's just him like... creepily, like, staring at her and, like, smiling a little bit.
Yeah.
And then, so they're talking to the FAA guy. Because I can't remember the middle term, so we'll just say FAA.
They say some bullshit to him, and... Because they're trying to ask him, I guess...
they say
to get the details.
And he says it takes some time to like look into certain companies and stuff.
But then the guy, the other clerk, walks in with like a file, and then there they have the name of the manager of the pet food company.
Right, that's gone missing apparently. Yes. Yeah.
So that ends. But then at some point there is the scene where the pet food company managers are in their office and they're discussing how to get new bodies.
Yeah.
And then he immediately thinks about the awkward old guy. And the guy, the other manager's like, "No, you can't. You can't.
And then the manager, like,
he goes to talk. Yeah, Lando.
He invites Willie.
Yes.
The awkward, like, janitor.
Yep. He starts talking
into the office and is like, "Hey, like, what does he say?"
He says, like, I don't even remember what he says. Like, "Do you want to look in the office or something?" Because earlier in the movie, you see that Willie wants to go, like, see the operation.
Yeah.
You know, the machine.
Yeah, because he was trying to get into the basement.
And he chews him out for it, and now he's like, I guess, "Oh, do you want to see it?" And
they go down.
As he's talking to him, you remember, it would quickly cut the grinder.
To the grinder, yeah.
Yes.
Just like,
out of nowhere.
Meh.
Yeah.
Meh. Like, it's just like,
mid-conversation, just meh.
Yeah, just like, what is going on right now? Why do they do these random jump cuts?
Yeah, they do that.
So he takes him downstairs, and
you don't see it. It's off camera, because you see them opening the door and going downstairs. Then you cut to the other manager in the office, and then you hear the scream.
Oh, yeah.
Meh! And then he just walks upstairs. He has, like, a bloody towel.
And he's just wiping his hands. Yeah.
That was it.
And the other guy's like, "Why'd we have to do that? We didn't have to do that. We could have found some other way." Yeah. And, like, all that stuff. But I think we forgot to mention, it does show them putting the bodies into the grinder when they buy them from Caleb.
There's a scene earlier where
there's this girl on the conveyor belt, and one of the managers being all creepy, and he's like, She's so young.
So beautiful.
Yeah, and like, and he's all like doing these like weird like
grabby hands
motions, but he never touches her.
Yeah.
And then they put her in, but it just alludes to the fact that they're making cat food.
Yes. Because you see many, many shots of wet cat food dripping into a very dirty, rusty bucket.
Yeah, that's their main source of where they get the cat food.
Yes.
Like, just
clothing and everything.
Yeah, they put them in, like, fully clothed.
Yes, look, the clothing it's good for fiber, all right? Adds fiber to the cat's diets, you know, come on.
So and then it shows them adding grain into the top as well.
Because I guess, you know, if it was just flesh, it might be awkward.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah. Then there's a scene of the secretary from earlier going home.
Yeah, so this is where it gets weird. So, like, she...
Oh, this is where it gets weird?
I mean, the whole movie's weird.
Man, but I don't know about that.
So, walking into her
house. This is where it gets blatant. Put it that way.
So she's walking into her house with a bag of groceries. She sets one down, and, like, the cat starts eating out of the Lotus.
Yeah, she sets some cat food down for her cat.
She gets a beer out of her fridge, goes into her living room, and just starts undressing.
She undresses.
Into her underwear. And then turns on the TV.
No. She undresses into her underwear, goes and gets a glass, pours herself a glass of Bud Light or whatever shit that she had, and just lays down on the couch to watch TV.
In her underwear.
Because don't we all do that?
I never have, but...
I mean, we're recording this right now in our underwear.
Yeah, right.
Because how else would you drink beer?
Yeah.
At home.
I don't know.
Come on.
You gotta be comfortable.
Yeah. It's realism. The scene is not in there just as, like, you know, some sleazy shit. No, not at all.
No, that's how everyone acts. They go home and drink a beer almost naked.
And you can't tell that it's sleazy at all, because when she takes off her clothes, there's just a shot of her ass. No, you can't tell it's sleazy from that.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
And then she lays down all like...
Yeah.
Like a model laying down on a sofa. And it's like, you know, she has her hand, her head is resting on one of her hands.
Yeah.
And she's just like drinking this beer.
Oh my God.
It looks like an old Budweiser commercial.
It does. Yeah.
Like,
seriously, like it might as well be.
Show in the 70s.
It might as well be. Like, that's what Budweiser makes you do. It just makes you fucking feel sexy or some shit. I don't know.
You can get undressed in your own home and drink a Budweiser.
Yeah. So she does that, and then her cat obviously goes cuckoo.
Yeah, and does that meow, and then, like,
you see it eating, and then it goes off the table, goes into the room, and then jumps on her, and it cuts.
Yeah.
You don't even see what happens to her. Obviously, she's dead. But that's the end of that plot line. Whatever.
And then it jumps to the doctor's office again, right?
I lost the... I kind of lost the structure.
I did, too.
Because it would just kind of go from the doctors to the managers to the doctors back and forth.
Yeah, and it's just all stuff, like, kind of leading up to the end, of course. But it wasn't anything
super important. Oh, shit, we forgot. We forgot the most important character in the movie. The detective.
Oh, yeah. The detective that just shows up at random parts.
So, random parts of the movie, there is this guy with a mustache who is just, like, kind of staring off at things that are happening. And you don't... They never tell you who the fuck he is. And the whole time, we're just like, who is this guy? I'm guessing he's a detective or something. But you just randomly see him over and over again.
He, like, keeps... He keeps, like, writing stuff down. Writing notes. And, like, writing notes.
Looking at things.
Like, he'll, like, be at, like... certain places, like at the factory, sometimes it'll zoom in on him. Like it makes it apparent to show him.
Oh yeah, it's a big deal.
Even though he's only in 5 minutes of the movie,
not even.
Yeah,
like maybe 2 minutes.
He's in the last 5 minutes of the movie, and that's it.
So they make a big deal out of this.
So then the doctors go to the wife of the old manager. Yeah,
I can't remember his fucking name, but it doesn't matter. So. She goes there, and his wife is, like, delusional. She's just crazy.
She's, like, gardening, and they talk to her, and...
She tells them all this stuff, and she basically... She ends up telling them the address of the cat food factory.
Even though it kind of, like, made it seem like she didn't give them the address. Like, she said that she didn't know where it was, but they end up...
The next scene is them going to the factory.
Yeah, but even though she said she didn't know the address... And then it talks about catnip a little bit.
Yeah.
And for no reason. No reason. She just says catnip makes, like, cats think they were lions or something like that.
Yes. It makes them go crazy, Will.
Yeah. And so I was like, are they trying to allude to the fact that they put in catnip in this cat food, too? Like,
yeah, that didn't go anywhere.
Yeah, it didn't go anywhere. There's no reason to have that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so then the... Dr. Glass and Angie go into the factory.
They're pretending to be...
a couple going on vacation.
Yeah, and they want a box of the cat food.
Yeah, to study it.
Yeah.
Even though they're doctors. Mm-hmm. But,
and you know. So they get the cat food. One of the managers thinks that they're cops, and he's, like, super suspicious.
Yeah, and then Angie's like, why was he so suspicious? Like, why...
Why was he... Yeah, which, I mean, I guess. But she's like, there's something going on in that factory, because that one manager, he was acting very strange.
Yeah, he was acting nervous.
I believe this is also the scene where, because at this point we're like, don't these people have, like, jobs?
Yeah, like...
Like, he's a doctor, she's a nurse. Shouldn't they be working?
Yeah, because they never work. They're constantly studying, like, cat corpses.
Yeah.
Like, talking about cats.
Trying to get laid.
Like, investigating
stuff. He's trying to get laid.
Investigating stuff that, like, I don't know how they're investigating it. Like, you'd think if he was a doctor, and he's supposed to be, like, a surgeon.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be busy all the time, so, like, I don't get how this makes sense.
He's trying to be busy with her, if you know what I mean.
Well, yeah, constantly. Because
he spends, like, half of his working hours just trying to get laid.
Well, because they only spend the majority of the... So there's only, like, three set locations.
Mm-hmm.
There's the graveyard, the doctor's office, and the...
The basement.
The basement. Well, the cat people's office. Which is surrounded, like, which has a bunch of cats running around in the basement.
Yeah, so they just randomly show you every now and then.
Yep. So it shows...
But that, we have to mention, though, because the scene where they're in a doctor's office, they finally say, like, she's like, you know, you have a surgery in 5 hours, you should get some sleep.
Yeah, you should get some rest. Yeah. We need to have this... This patient deserves a fighting chance.
Yes.
And then...
He says, your favorite.
He says, what?
I wouldn't want to... Son of a bitch.
I think you wrote it down, didn't you?
I might have.
We had to remember this.
I might have. Son of a bitch.
Said something about, like...
I have my work cut out for me.
Yeah, I have my work cut... Sounds like I have my work cut out for me.
Yeah.
He emphasizes the cut. Because, get it? He's a surgeon, so cut.
I also want to mention, this is, like, way back. But the earlier scene when they're at the FAA, there's just a painting kind of, like... Standing on a rail.
On a railing, yeah.
Yeah. It's like a decorative railing, and they just awkwardly stacked this painting on it, and you can see it leaning out.
And it doesn't have any frame or anything.
There's no frame. There's no,
it's just a print.
It's just a print that they put there, and I guess they thought we wouldn't notice, but we did.
We noticed, like, little set details like that. Like, there's a, like, the, yeah. How just, like, cheaply made this movie yeah. was.
It's like, it's a doctor's office. It's gotta, there's gotta be a diploma on the wall.
Right. They're just,
it's
like,
gotta be,
just
it's like, gotta be white.
This looks believable, yeah. right?
Or they're early on there at the mortuary office. I'm pretty sure it's the doctor's office set.
It had to be.
It's completely white, and again, it has a window that you can't see out of because it's a set. They're not in a fucking building.
Yeah, it had to be the same place because yeah. it looked exactly like it.
Yeah.
So after they go and get the cat food, and you know he makes that ridiculous pun mm-hmm. about.
I think next is shows.
She writes the letter that says she's going to go.
Yeah, but don't they also have go back to the gravedigger?
Oh, that's it. Right. They go back to Caleb, right?
Yeah, and he's like digging up the graves, and he contacts, because he hasn't heard from the pet food people. He contacts them, and we get the montage. Do you remember the famous murder montage?
Yeah, because they've hired a new person, like a hitman.
They hired like a fucking hitman, and they literally go around the city murdering like homeless winos,
homeless drunks. Yeah. Yes, like this is this guy coming around just like choking them with a wire.
Yeah, he has like the wire that you would have in like, you know, The Godfather, except it's literally just like, it looks like a fucking telephone cord.
Yeah.
He just chokes, like, these drunks.
He chokes, like, five of them. They just, like, make it, like, yeah. they just show five of them. And then I think, does it show them, like, putting them into the grinder, too?
I show some of them, yeah.
But, like, what's weird is we've never seen this hitman before this time.
No, we have.
Oh,
there's
yeah?
There's one scene where they talk with him. But, well, he tells them something about COD. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the fuck that means.
Or COD or CRD. I couldn't...
Yeah.
The dubbing...
Yeah,
it's kind of like the bad audio quality is shit. So I couldn't really tell.
He
if it
tells
was
them
COD
something
or
about
COD,
and they're like trying to like negotiate something with him, and we thought like that was it for him, but then he shows up as like a hitman, murdering people on the street.
Yeah, just murdering people, putting them into the van, and then going to
wonderful
people.
Wonderful montage.
So Caleb calls up the guy and is like brandishing this like revolver
yeah.
while he's talking to Landau.
Yeah,
about. You know, why haven't you shown up?
And he's like, oh, I'm going to show up very soon.
Yeah.
And so you see him pull up to the cemetery. He shows up. He goes into Caleb's piece of shit kitchen house. And
and Caleb, like, pulls the gun on him and is like...
Yeah, give me
like,
the money.
Give me the money. And the guy's like, oh, I got your money right here. Shows yeah. him. And then, like, he's like, give me that gun. And he, like, puts it away. And then he reaches into his jacket.
Yes.
And pulls out another gun.
Yes. And then Caleb's like, no, don't kill me. Don't kill me. And he shoots him. His wife comes, and she freaks the fuck out.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
and
yeah.
then you get just the best chase scene ever.
With her just, like, you know, like, running and, like, screaming. Like,
yeah.
the whole time. But
it's, like, the same scream over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, ah, ah, ah.
And then
over
then
and over.
It cuts to, like, geese.
Oh, yeah, he keeps
point.
Cutting to geese.
Yeah, geese behind, like, a barbed wire mm-hmm. Fence. And her like, ah! 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 Like, that's literally how the chase scene goes.
Terrifying.
And then she's, like, running through this giant graveyard. With
it's
a
massive,
like,
yeah.
And you could tell they kind of, like, were proud of themselves with their fog
oh, yeah.
machine. Because they kept pumping just all
yeah.
this fog.
All
through.
The graveyard scenes have an insane amount of fog.
Like, too much fog. I mean, I know they're going for creepy,
turn down the
but...
settings on your smoke machine, please.
Yeah, please. So she runs around, and then they meet face-to-face, and he, like, Landau just, like, raises his gun and shoots her.
No, but it cuts close-ups of their faces.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, no, yeah, he's pointing the gun at her, and he's, like, thinking about shooting her, but
yeah.
it, like, keeps cutting her face, like, over
it
his
cuts
face.
Back and forth to them, like, 50 fucking times. Before
yeah.
he finally shoots
and
her.
And then he finally shoots her.
And there just happens to be a dug-up grave.
And she falls right
she
into
falls
it.
Falls right in.
Like, perfectly
he,
into it.
And he buries her.
Yep.
So, good job. Good job.
Oh, and then... so, that happens. And it goes back to the girl. So Angie has written a note for the doctor.
For the doctor, telling him that she's
him she's going to go back and investigate because she can't let it go.
Yeah.
Like, Dr. Glass has told her repeatedly that, like, you know, they're just going to have to go and call the cops. Yeah. There's nothing else they can do. So she goes to investigate.
Nobody in this movie calls the cops.
No.
The cops.
I don't even think the cops show up at the end.
The cops don't exist in this universe.
Apparently not. So she
but
goes.
But the FAA does. It's just not the one you know.
Right. Even though they mentioned the FDA, too, because remember, this is previous, but the guy mentions...
He mentions the FDA.
He mentions...
The FAA guy mentions the FDA. For some reason.
Mm-hmm.
So she goes there, she gets in, and
the
nervous manager...
Yeah, is behind her, and she doesn't know, and he, like, walks up to her, and then, like, grabs her, and then it cuts to... Her, like, him leading her down the stairs in the basement.
I thought it cut to, what's his name? The doctor finding the note.
So it cuts.
Yeah.
And then the Dr. Glass finds the note.
And he, like, kind of shows it up to where, like, the camera's on it and you're supposed to be able to read it. But we could only make out, like, three words.
It did say, like, something like, I'll be back before you know it or something
that. It's basically written in doctor's handwriting, which, don't... Make us read doctor's handwriting, please. Just don't.
It's like really tight cursive and
tight cursive and just scribbled like crazy.
And the visuals are really bad, so like you can't really read it anyway.
It's bad enough to start, and then it just
So he goes to him. He's like, you know, dragging her down the stairs. And then Dr. Glass leaves the office, and then it cuts back to the manager dragging the Angie down the stairs. And she's, like,
awkwardly shuffling down the stairs. Trying not to, like, trip over him, I guess.
And then...
He brings her to, like, a pile of... Oh, my God.
There's, like a pile of body parts or something.
Well, first, I was like, we don't know what the hell she's looking at. And then we see there's a barrel full of body parts.
And this, like, rubber
this
hand.
This rubber hand.
Like, reaching up out of it. And, like... She like trips and falls.
She trips and falls, and she hits the hand.
And it ragdolls. Like
it's supposed to be like a real hand, but she hits it, and it just ragdolls like crazy.
It just like flops around, like you can tell it's like clearly like rubber. It's hilarious.
And he for no reason tips over the barrel of body parts.
Yeah, so he's getting to her, and like you see him moving this barrel at first, and then he just tips it over. Just
tips it over
for no reason. Grabs her and then like ties her up and puts her on the conveyor belt.
Yeah. And I was just like, let me guess, he's gonna rip her shirt off. And yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Because I guess he's just a fucking pervert or something.
Yeah, he's like, you're not gonna scream if I take my hand off. Mm-hmm. And like she like nods and then
he's like, I just think you're beautiful.
And then he just tears her shirt off.
Yeah. And she immediately screams. So then the other manager shows up.
The other manager shows up, Landau shows up and goes downstairs and like
he's like pissed off.
And
he shoots him for no fucking reason.
Yeah, just shoots him and then gets mad at him.
Before we continue, we should mention that, yes, they did kill the old manager.
Yes.
Who's missing. They did kill
so
him.
So they finally got to that and they killed him and it shows like a weird
and
flashback.
And now Lando's like the main manager or whatever. Yeah. That happened way earlier.
And it shows a flashback of like them killing the old manager by putting him in the grinder. And that's when they started making the cat food out of meat, out of human flesh.
It's genius.
So Landau's like has this other manager on the
conveyor
belt.
He's like yelling at him.
And the girl like gets up, unties herself and gets up for, you know, because we thought she
was. It's apparently super easy to untie herself.
Yeah. And then he puts the old manager through the meat grinder and it just shows the.
Yeah, but that's after he has like an angry fucking monologue
at
his dead body. That like, I don't even remember what the fuck he said. It's like. You know, I'll do it myself. I don't need you. I don't need the old manager. I don't need any of you. And he just sticks him into the fucking grinder.
Yep.
It's like, why did he even kill him? There's no reason. Okay, whatever.
There was no reason to kill him, but
because,
he did anyway.
Because drama. You know?
And then he goes after the girl and is going to put her in the grinder, but then Dr. Glass shows up.
And he shoots him.
And Landau shoots Dr. Glass and
hits him
falls
in like the shoulder.
The
he falls down the stairs.
And then the girl like goes to his aid.
Yeah.
But Landau's just standing there.
He's just standing there
nothing.
Like staring at them. And then he's like, oh, does he say something?
I can't remember if he says something.
I think he says like some pun about like making them into cat food or some shit.
Yeah.
But anyways.
So
remember
now
that detective?
We get the detective.
it paid off. Because this is what, see, what masterpiece movies do is they give you those little things, and then there's the payoff. So you see this weirdo with a mustache just awkwardly standing around looking at people. Then at the very end, he runs in, and he shoots Landau right in the chest, and he just starts, like, bleeding blood.
And, like, his eyes go all crazy as he's, like, bleeding blood and, like, falling over. It's, like, the most overdramatic death scene I've ever seen.
So you find out that the cop, the detective is, he's a...
He's, like, a private...
He's not a private detective. He says that he works for... It's completely made up. He says, I work for the Special Investigation Agency or some shit.
Yeah.
Made up bullshit. He was hired to find the old manager. And then he's like, where is he? And then remember the Dr. Glass says something like, I think he was the first batch of cat food.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just cuts to Landau's body and all these cats on top of it.
And then it ends.
The end.
That's the end of the movie.
And we clapped.
Oh, yeah. I applaud this movie. Like, it is the it's the best one we've watched so far, to be fair. Just sheer, like, just stupid entertainment.
Stupid is the right word.
I think it's a bit of an understatement myself, but...
Yes, no, this is beyond stupid. But it is, I would also agree, the most entertaining one?
I guess, yeah, entertaining is the best word I can find for it. Because not that I would ever watch this movie again. But, like, it's just, it kind of had a certain, like,
charm
to it. What would your final thoughts be on it?
Oh, man. I don't know. I'd say that I would recommend this one. I would recommend it because it's, unlike all the other movies we watched, like, there weren't any of those moments where we were just kind of yelling at the screen, just wanting the movie to just get on with it. For the most part, it moves pretty quickly. And it's just, it's so stupid and so entertaining because of it that I think it's worth a watch.
Well, I mean, it is only an hour and 15 minutes, so it is a quick watch.
It's very short.
But it doesn't, it just feels like an hour and 15 minutes. It didn't seem too long. It didn't seem like it drags on. There's no pointless scenes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is ridiculous, but if you like campy, like grindhouse, like really like just Fangoria kind of stuff, I would say it's worth a watch if you like this kind of like 70s camp. And so I kind of, like, I didn't necessarily enjoy it, but it was, it had a certain charm to it.
Yeah.
And that's, like, what kind of what I'll say about it.
It's a good watch with company.
Yeah, I think
it's... I don't think I'd watch this by myself, but if you're with someone who kind of gets it, I think it's fun.
I think it's good to watch if you just kind of want to, like, watch a bad horror movie and kind of make fun of it, fun of it as you go.
Mm.
And you're not going to be bored with it, which is good.
Yeah.
Not like the other ones. Where we wanted to turn it off at like almost every point.
This one was we were invested in this piece of crap.
I just wanted to know what was going on at the end.
We were invested in this piece of crap.
I mostly wanted to know who the detective guy was.
Oh, it delivered.
Yeah, it did. And like I was surprised that it did. I thought it would just like kind of like forget about him, but it didn't.
Yeah, because it was like the last 5 minutes of the movie, and there was no detective. We're just like, are they ever gonna tell us who this asshole was?
Right.
Then they did. Lo and behold, they delivered.
And if you want to watch it for yourself, it is on Amazon Prime. If you have a membership, you can watch it for free. I'm sure you can rent it somewhere else, too. Yeah, so that was The corpse. Sorry. Not the
oh, my God. We have to mention one more thing.
Okay, what?
One more thing. The painted-on blades. Remember?
Oh, yeah. On the corpse grinder itself, they have these, like, long blades, and you think, it's spinning so fast, you think they're claws that grab the...
They look like, almost like teeth, but they're spinning so fast, they look like they're, it's sharp, right?
Yeah, like, it's actually grabbing the corpse as it's going in. But he
stops it, and you can see it for a split second.
Yeah, these long blades with little, like, little teeth. Like, painted on to the blade.
Painted onto the fucking thing.
I mean,
art.
We had to rewind it because I didn't believe it. I was like, "What? They did not just paint those claws onto there."
Because it's like, that's such a simple fuck up. Like, you just don't even show it.
Like, because it looked pretty good.
Yeah.
As long as they didn't show it.
But it stops moving, and you just see its fucking teeth painted on it to make it look sinister.
And then it just totally looks stupid after that. I was just like, yeah, I can... Like,
it's such a simple fuck up. Like, why even have that shot? You don't need it. Just cut it out. And then at least it would look better. But then again, for the sake of our entertainment, I'm glad they painted the stupid thing on.
Oh, it was hilarious to watch. Yeah. But... so, yeah, that was the... So
that's, yeah, that is our final thoughts.
Yep. Painted on teeth.
Yep. I had to mention this.
So that was the Corpse Grinders. Mm-hmm. 1971. Like I said before, we're kind of like... I think we're sticking with the schedule. We'll be releasing episodes every Sunday and Thursday.
Yep.
So we'll be providing you with some entertainment. If you want to watch these movies for yourself, I'll keep mentioning how to find them and stuff, just in case. But anyway, for They Mostly Come In At Night, this was Will.
And this was Alex.
And we'll talk to you later.
Be careful what you feed your cats.